Listen to WGN Radio's newest podcast, Behind the Badge, Illinois, hosted by David Hochberg. Behind the Badge, Illinois views current events through the eyes of Illinois law enforcement leaders. Tune in. Visit WGNradio.com/behindthebadge.
Here is Michael Albert. Michael, you're on WGN Radio. Welcome to the show. How are you, sir?
Oh, I'm doing well. How are you?
There's the voice that you don't hear on TV when the governor is talking. This man is doing the signing, and he's a bit of a viral, no pun intended, celebrity right now. And the Chicago Tribune, Heidi Stevens wrote, "I think his presence is a powerful daily reminder of all of the different ways we are experiencing this crisis. All different humans with all different needs, skills, gifts, talents, challenges, and fears brought together under terrifying circumstances, but brought together nonetheless. There is beauty in Albert's rapid-fire translations." Isn't that a nice thing to read?
I thought that was, if it wasn't about me and that wasn't embarrassing, I thought it was just a beautifully written article, and I really appreciate her for putting the emphasis of this this work I'm doing on, you know, where it belongs, which is access to the deaf community that needs this information.
So is this what you've been doing for a living all along, or is this sort of a side gig?
No, this is my full-time profession. I've been a professional interpreter since 1991, when I graduated my interpreter training program.
What motivates somebody to go into that line of work?
Well, I think people have a lot of different motivations. You know, some people come to it through family members who are deaf, some through maybe churches or other religious organizations that have a ministry for deaf people. For me, it was just a sign language class in 1987 that I took for elective credit. And then later I had a roommate who was deaf and landed in the middle of a big deaf protest in Washington, D.C. in 1988. And that kind of sparked an interest that propelled me to this career through a variety of situations.
When I see people doing what you do, I wonder, are there people out there really consuming it, watching it, and getting the interpretation? Or is it just the sort of thing we do to accommodate an audience, but it's not actually very large?
Oh, no, it's extremely large. I know that I've been hearing from members of the deaf community, many who have just been so gracious with their support and their kind words, and also members of my professional colleagues in the interpreting community who are just amazing here in Chicago and are still out there doing the work. But absolutely, there's a large audience for this. And I've been very impressed with the media, the news stations that have really gotten the notion that access to this information is so important. Historically, they haven't always stayed on the interpreter. Now they are doing that for the entirety of the press conference. And that's so very crucial. And I really applaud the media for taking that responsibility seriously.
You know, we've been talking about you a lot. A lot of people have. It's fascinating. But most TVs now, or nearly all TVs, also have closed captioning. I mean, does that reduce the need for you? Or how do you provide a better message, I guess, than closed captioning would?
Sure. For a lot of deaf people, their first language is not actually English. Their first language is American Sign Language. And American Sign Language has a syntax and a grammar completely different from English. And so for a lot of deaf people, the reading of English, particularly at the speed and the level at which it's being spoken at the press conferences, is quite difficult, and a lot of information is being missed. So there's, and even for people who are deaf, who are English savvy, a lot of times just getting that information in a visual language is much more easy to digest, much more easy to understand than having to try to decipher the English. And that's an issue that a lot of people don't understand, but it's a really important issue to make sure that this...
Yeah, I didn't mean to interrupt, but that would have never occurred to me. Perfect sense.
Well, is there a different symbol for the words, or are you assembling words with different symbols? I don't see you spelling them out. So what are you doing there?
So, like any language, you know, if you're speaking Japanese or you're speaking German, you know, there's a concept, and different languages have different ways of expressing that concept. And there are signs that would require 15 English words to express, and there are English words that require 15 signs to express. So in any, for any interpreter working in any language, we're basically working with the concept in one language and then trying to create an equivalent representation in a second language. And that's really what we're doing. I do spell out things like names, and I spell out things like some technical terms. So I am using some fingerspelling, but most of the time I'm just listening to a statement. I'm trying to create a visual representation in my mind of that statement and then putting it out in the grammar and syntax to the best of my ability of American Sign Language.
But in English, it would be the same for everybody. Everybody would interpret what the governor is saying if they were writing it out in English. Would every person signing use the exact same symbols and gestures that you're using? Would they do it the exact same way?
Absolutely not. All of us have, for any kind of sentence that we could utter, there are 100 different ways to interpret it, maybe 1,000. You know, there's a lot of options available to us. Some of you have seen an interpreter working for the mayor at her briefings in the morning, a different interpreter who's absolutely excellent at his craft. He and I have relatively different styles, and we're producing the same message in two different ways. But he's extraordinary. And so all of us who are working at this language, are always striving to make the language accessible in the way that we think is best going to be received by our audience. And we all bring to it our different personalities. We bring to it our different approaches to language. But there's absolutely, there's 100 different ways that you could express yourself in an English sentence. Similarly, we have lots of different ways of expressing ourselves in ASL.
Michael Albert is the sign language interpreter you see when the governor is speaking daily on TV. 708 said, I love the animated faces the interpreters make. Is that a conscious thing that you're doing?
Well, there is grammar in American Sign Language that actually is represented by things we do with our faces, mouth movements, eyebrow movements, that actually create different parts of the syntax, like certain forms of questions and adverbs and adjectives.
Can you give me an example of that? Give me an example of that.
Oh, goodness. Well, for example, if I'm saying something is large, there's a sign for large. If I make a certain movement with my mouth, it could modify that word to mean extremely large. Or if I say something happened recently and I do something with my mouth, kind of purse my lips in a certain way, it could indicate something that happened just a moment ago versus yesterday.
I get it. Yeah.
And the expression, also we're trying to convey the tone of the speaker. And Governor Pritzker, I think, as we've all seen, has expressed a great deal of passion these past couple of weeks in his anger at the federal government at times and his compassion for the people who are suffering throughout our state. And, that has to be conveyed. And I try to do that again without drawing focus from him. I hope I'm not, but I know that a lot of people have commented on the expression.
So you need to be a bit of a thespian, don't you?
I actually have some acting background in high school and college, but I guess you do to an extent, yeah.
I mean, literally. I mean, if he is being emotional or if there's a certain gravity to what he is saying, then maybe you need to sort of mimic that. And I don't know if you're doing all of that intentionally, but it certainly does seem to mirror what the governor is saying. What thought goes into the clothes that you wear?
For any interpreter, we're attempting to wear clothes that are dark. Well, for me as a white interpreter, I'm Caucasian, so I'm trying to wear clothing that's solid and dark to contrast with my hands. An African-American interpreter would be wearing probably something that would be solid and light to contrast with their hands. So we're trying to make sure that our hands are visible, particularly when we're on camera. If I'm doing something in person, one-on-one, the clothing is a little, it's a little less important, but we still try to create this contrasting background.
Have you had to do signing for music, for songs?
I have done some of that, yeah. It's a completely different branch of our profession, and some people really enjoy it. My favorite would have been a concert where Olivia Newton-John performed in Chicago. I think that was my highlight.
Olivia Newton-John, have you ever been mellow? Was that one of her songs? I'm trying to think of what
it was, but I was working with a partner that day, and she did that song. I did all the Grease songs because I knew them by heart.
So there you are dancing and kind of working it, and I imagine you were lipping them a little bit too, huh?
Well, you have to look at the case and see what you thought. But again, you know, for me as an interpreter, I'm hoping to create the vibe of the show without becoming the show.
That's what I hope.
That's my goal. You know, I want people to feel the rhythm and feel the energy in my interpretation. But I certainly don't want them to be looking at me versus Olivia Newton-John, who's right there in front of you.
But do people who receive sign language music have an appreciation for the songs?
I think it varies. So deafness is not necessarily just people who are 100% inaccessible to sound. You know, many deaf people have hearing at some level, and many deaf people can enjoy and listen to music, but may not understand the lyrics or may not be able to get those lyrics, you know, through their auditory channel. So I think for a lot of deaf people that are going to concerts, they're either enjoying what they hear or enjoying what they feel in the vibration, and then the interpreter supplementing that with a visual representation of the lyrics that kind of brings the whole experience together. And you know, music interpretation is something that's come under some controversy. You know, there have been some interpreters out there that have gone viral for interpreting rap songs, and these videos, you know, go out. And it's a real balance in our field to determine exactly how much we should be bringing the excitement of the show versus how much we should be becoming the show. And that's kind of a balance I think my field is trying to strike right now.
708 texted in and said, it's a beautiful language. 815, such an excellent interpreter. My friend Sarah here at WGN said, as someone who studied sign for 2 years, I have so much admiration for interpreters like you, Michael. Michael, if somebody is speaking quickly, do you ever worry about your ability to physically keep up with what's being said?
More so I worry about mentally keeping up with what's being said and making sure that I'm capturing a great deal of information and conveying it accurately. Lately the news conferences have become quite statistical. And so trying to make sure that those statistics are being conveyed accurately is very important to me. And sure, a fast speaker presents unique challenges. Sometimes extremely slow speakers can create different kinds of challenges. But the goal of my work, again, is solely to take in a message and convey it accurately and as clearly as possible to the audience that needs this information, particularly in this unprecedented pandemic.
So words like pandemic, COVID-19, coronavirus, are there symbols for those, or are you having to spell out all of that stuff?
So in American Sign Language, we have what we call concept strings that we sometimes use. So a pandemic, the way I've been expressing that is a disease, the sign for disease, and then the sign for spreading out. That's been the kind of an accepted way of expressing a pandemic. COVID-19, generally I've seen the interpreters spelling that when that's being stated specifically. There is also a sign that has been agreed upon by the majority of the deaf community for a coronavirus that I have been using. So as any language evolves, when new terms, new technologies are invented, that language has to adapt to those technologies and those new concepts by creating a linguistic representation. Sign language is no different. I remember when email was becoming popular, there were several different signs out in the world for email, and eventually over time, as deaf people communicated with one another across the country, they've settled in on a sign that's most commonly accepted, but there used to be 7 or 8.
If you wanted one, I was thinking I could volunteer this for the signing community. The symbol for the COVID-19 virus, you kind of bend down in a linebacker position, make yourself a little more squat. Stay with me. And then you take all of your fingers and you stick them up around your head, creating a halo of spikes, which is what the virus looks like. So you kind of hunker down with your hands on your head.
I think that you should actually replace me and go ahead and interpret the press conferences from here on in. That sounds like a great idea.
I think that's a really good idea, Michael. By the way,
unfortunately, the actual side is a little bit more subtle than that and a little bit more boring, but hopefully it works.
Do you worry ever, or I'm sure I know the answer to this, but do you ever think, oh, gee, I look silly while I'm doing this?
No, I don't think I worry about looking silly. I think I'm most focused on accuracy and clarity, and you know, maybe I should focus a little bit more on whether I look silly or
no,
not.
No. Don't even finish that thought. By the way, I wanted to ask you another question, and that is the so you said that the word for pandemic you might say is disease, and then this sign for spreading out. It's almost like a parlor game we play where I'll give you two words and you tell me what I'm thinking of. So you say disease spreading out, and I would say pandemic. You've conveyed the meaning regardless of what the words are. But I might say globe. And then illness, a global illness is also a pandemic. Both of those would be legitimate ways to sign that concept. And a different interpreter, am I correct in this, might actually use the symbols I've recommended versus the ones you've selected.
It really all depends on the context of what's being said. And for any interpreter, as we're listening to what's being said, we're trying to understand the concept and then convey the concept in a manner that we think is going to be most understandable to the audience. So certainly the governor has talked about the experiences of other countries, the experiences around the world. And yes, there are ways in sign language that I'm trying to convey those concepts of what is happening to not only in the United States, but also happening in Italy and in China. And so different combinations of signs will be used, and different interpreters might choose different signs. But the most important thing, again, is making sure that that message is equivalent possible. And there are different ways of accomplishing that.
I've noticed at times, I think it's when the word is said, you say, you point to your chin or you make a gesture with your finger towards your mouth. Do you know what I'm talking about? What does that mean?
To say or to tell.
To say or to tell. But is there a past tense version of that, or do you worry about? Do you have present, you know, think of all the different forms of a verb. How do you handle all of that?
In American Sign Language, verbs themselves, the verbs as they're signed are not conjugated for tense. So basically, if I begin a sentence by saying yesterday, then every verb I produce will be past tense until I change the time reference.
Yeah,
if I say tomorrow, if I talk about then switch to tomorrow, every verb will not be future tense until I change the time. So the verbs themselves are not conjugated for tense.
I've noticed the same sign, but sometimes it was said and sometimes it is say or saying, and it's the same sign, but it just depends on the context of the sentence. The person interprets the correct version of the verb then.
Right. So if the governor is saying, I'm telling you right now, or if he's saying, yesterday I told the president, the sign for tell might be exactly the same.
Right.
It's just whether we're talking about what I'm telling you now versus what I said to the president yesterday.
630 texted in and said, is it hard to sign for someone you disagree with? You're saying things that actually you don't like to say.
Well, again, you know, my personal feeling about what's being said is what I'm hoping to keep out of the discourse. So I'm trying to, again, convey a message from a speaker to an audience in the most well-matched way I possibly can, in the way that's the most clear and accurate. To the extent that our feelings or our biases get in the way of that interpretation, you know, that's an issue that we have to deal with and something that we all, you know, have been trained to recognize and to try as best as we can to leave out of our interpretation.
Just a couple more texts. 630 said, Michael is amazing. By the way, Michael, are you single? Are you a married man?
I am not married. No, I'm a single gay man. but I'm not looking for...
Because I'm just telling you, if you were looking for a partner or a relationship, this is, you could just slip that in there with one of those symbols. Hey, I'm free.
So, and then I would lose my license. So that would be great.
Of all the questions you were preparing for today, was that one of them?
No. I suppose it's a valid question, but it's not one that... You know, again, I would just want to say that any attention that people are directing toward me as a person versus the message that's being conveyed is really misplaced. And I hope that, you know, I've done a couple of interviews recently with a newspaper and a TV station, and now I'm delighted to be on your program. I enjoy your show a great deal. But any of this media attention, I hope, is going to be slipping away as this crisis continues, and people can be focused on this really, really important message that the governor is delivering.
It's a credit to you, sir, that every time you have spoken publicly, and that it's not been that many times, that point has come through, and it comes through in literally your words and in generally the way you've been conducting this interview. Just a last couple of comments from our listeners. John, so glad you're talking with a sign language interpreter. I had the same questions. He speaks with so much passion and speed. John, prior to their passing, my in-laws were deaf, and I learned sign language being around them. I'm so intrigued and captured every time there's a news conference by Michael's ability to communicate. He is amazing. He's Michael Albert. All right, Michael, I'm sure you have more to do today than just answer my silly questions. Thank you for doing what you do for the community, for our listeners. Well done, sir.
Hey, and thank you, too. And I just want to say to everybody, you know, stay strong, stay healthy. And to my interpreting colleagues and to the deaf community, you all are an incredible group of people. And I'm so proud to be part of the city.
It's Michael Albert, who interprets for the governor. Thank you, sir. It's 11:57, WGN Radio News, and G. Suki's all around the corner.